There's a light that shines in me. There's a light in me.
Only one that comes from peace.
There's a light that shines in me. There's a light in me.
Oh, come tell us we are free.
There's a light that shines in me. There's a light in me.
But the Lord won't let it be.
There's a light that shines in me. There's a light in me. There's a light that shines in me. There's a light in me.
Study workshops and spiritual films. I am the spiritual director, the founder of One Love Center. I am a religious science practitioner, as is the assistant director, Reverend Hajar Rahim, who may be joining us shortly. We also, besides meeting here in Blog Talk Radio Land, we meet in person for Sunday celebration every first and third Sunday at 11:30 a.m. at the Village at Bereje, Renate Alberson Martin Gallery, 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, New York, 11238. All are welcome, and it is our good pleasure to provide a stable, welcoming community for all who choose to practice and grow, play and unfold in their understanding of spiritual principles and spiritual living. I welcome one and all once again. So, I want to thank Eckhart Tolle for creating this wonderful book. And I know that each one who participates in any way in this presentation of the power of now is sure to have more in their life revealed, which can ease and aid in their own personal enlightenment and transformation. So by using this guide, I know that not only for myself and for all participants, that each one of us is making a difference in the world. By our greater awareness of truth, our greater awareness of spiritual principle, and therefore spiritual enlightenment. Welcome. And I know that there is a healing happening through the revealing of truth. And to that, for that, from that, I know all is well. Peace and blessings, everyone, and welcome. I do want to mention our opening song I love that song. There's a light that shines in me. I know there's a light that shines in you. There's a light that shines in each and everyone. And one thing for sure, that light cannot ever be extinguished. That song is by Eric Peterson, who was a longtime musician, keyboardist, and composer, and played at Agape International Spiritual Center in Los Angeles. And he now resides in Connecticut. And he has at least four albums, possibly. And Eric, and he's just wonderful. I would love to, and I will certainly invite him to maybe even do some music with us at some point. Maybe with this book or another book, or whatever else we do. But he's just wonderful. He and his family, and I certainly thank him for providing our opening song. Welcome to the Power of Now. We're talking about the meaning of surrender. That's how we started off, and that's how the chapter reads. Chapter 10, the meaning of surrender, the acceptance of now. So I'll briefly skim over the beginning of this chapter, when he talks about surrender being purely an inner phenomenon. It does not mean on the outer level you cannot take action and change the situation. It says, in fact, it is not the overall situation that you need to accept when you surrender, but just a tiny segment called the now. And so we explored that. We looked at how it's so important to, and the book is called The Power of Now, and that we constantly have to remind ourselves to be in the now. And it says acceptance of the now, because usually, and throughout the book, and you can look throughout your life, at any time that you felt resistance to being in the now, that's resistance to surrendering to what is in the moment. And so therefore, creating opportunities for the ego, the egoic mind, to have its way. Now he says that there is no judgment of the now. When you are in acceptance of the now, there's no judgment there. This is on page 172 in the hardcover. He says you can take action to get yourself unstuck when you find yourself stuck in unsurrendering or in resistance to surrender. He calls it a positive action in the middle of the page. He says, until you achieve the desired result, you continue to practice surrender by refraining from labeling the now. He says at the bottom of 172, non-surrender hardens your psychological form, the shell of the ego, and so creates a strong sense of separateness. As the world around you, and people in particular, come to be perceived as threatening, the unconscious compulsion to destroy others through judgment arises, as does the need to compete and dominate. Even nature becomes your enemy, and your perceptions and interpretations are governed by fear. The mental disease that we call paranoia is only a slightly more acute form of this normal but dysfunctional state of consciousness. And it's very interesting that he calls it a mental disease, paranoia, because when people are stuck, and this is what I say, that when people are stuck in non-surrender, resistance to surrender, most times I would say, and even from my own experience, it's not a matter of surrender at all. I would say most of the time people don't realize they need to surrender at all. Surrender only comes, and I'm borrowing this from 12 Steps, when life has become unmanageable. When life is unmanageable, that's when people begin to notice that, you know what, something needs to change. Now, that alone is not enough. If you're stuck in the mud, as Eckhart Tolle said, you have to take positive action. I was watching a TV show recently, and they were showing, examining quicksand, and showing how strong the suction of quicksand is. And the more that people struggle in quicksand, the more they get pulled down by it. And the force of that suction is equal to the force of them trying to pull themselves out. And usually the human will just get tired and get sucked into the quicksand. And the way to escape quicksand, if there's nobody around, is to not struggle. And by not struggling, somehow it seems miraculous that you'll begin to rise to the top when the energy that you're putting out is less than the energy that would be pulling you in. That energy becomes releasing energy and can allow you to float to the top and then have better opportunity to grab something or find a way to get out. Or if nothing else, wait till somebody comes along. At least you're not sinking below the surface of the quicksand. And so I'm saying this because most people when faced with the opportunity to make a change, will still not view surrender as an option. You hear it in the westerns, in the movies, in the, you know, you never take me alive. You know, I'm not going to surrender, no matter what. And they usually, you know, go down the hard way. Now, if this was in Eckhart Tolle's book, that would be the ego. That would be ego-driven all the way to the end, all the way to the big crash. Drive into oblivion. That would be negative action. Eckhart Tolle says when we find ourselves governed by fear, the mental disease, what it takes is positive action. Now, in once again referring to the 12 steps, I would like to actually read something from a 12-step book. And this book is called Narcotics Anonymous. But before I do that, let's just hear a little piece called No Resistance. Well, it started up. We're waiting for it to come up now. Well, I'll read the piece until it actually, that music does come up. So, in the 12 steps, in the first step, in step one, it says we admitted that we were powerless over our addiction. Other people would call it our diseased thinking. There is a recovery community that calls it a diseased ego, and that our lives had become unmanageable. Because when we admit our powerlessness and our inability to manage our own lives, we open the door to recovery. We open the door to surrender. And surrender also does mean letting go and releasing. It doesn't look like that song is going to come up. So let's do another song. And this one you may have heard before, called I Release.
To you.
Yes, Faith Rivera, no resistance. And quite honestly, any resistance that we have to surrender is most certainly is resistance to love. Eckhart Tolle does say that when we are mired in the mud and facing the fear, or stuck in the fear, actually, when we are governed by fear, when our perceptions and interpretations, on page 173, it says that we are governed by fear. Well, most certainly that means we are not governed by love, because you can't be in two places at the same time. You can't have two operating systems. Now, you know, of course, fear is not a power. But if you're not operating through love, if you're not governed by love, or if your perceptions and interpretations are not governed by love, well, the only thing left to come in is fear. And you get to empower the fear. And that most certainly will make room for that, like he says on top of 173, the mental disease called paranoia. There are many mental diseases. And the mental disease of the ego, I think, is overall the birthing ground of fear. Because if we're not giving power to the ego, and we're giving power to spirit, to the awareness of spirit, then only love really will prosper. There's no room for the ego to flourish at all. So moving on, and the last paragraph, or the next to last paragraph on 173, he says surrender is, first he says, if you find your life situation unsatisfactory or even intolerable, it is only by surrendering first that you can break the unconscious resistance pattern that perpetuates that situation. Once again, and people who are recovering from any one of who knows how many diseases, you know, who are in recovery, know that the first thing you have to do is surrender. You have to surrender first. Surrender is the key to making any change in your life. That is your first awareness. And once again, as it says in the 12-step language, you have to admit complete defeat. Once your life, you've determined, you've self-diagnosed yourself that life is unmanageable, then you need to take a positive action. What is that positive action? Well, the first thing is surrender. Eckhart Tolle says surrender is perfectly compatible with action, initiating change, or achieving goals. But in the surrendered state, a totally different energy, a different quality flows into your doing. Surrender reconnects you with the source energy of being. And if your doing is infused with being, it becomes a joyful celebration of life energy that takes you more deeply into the now. Through non-resistance, the quality of your consciousness and, therefore, the quality of whatever you are doing or creating is enhanced immeasurably. And it is enhanced immeasurably. It goes on to say that the results then look after themselves and reflect that quality. We could call this surrendered action. It is not work as we have known it for thousands of years. As more humans awaken, this is on page 174, as more humans awaken, the word work is going to disappear from our vocabulary, and perhaps a new word will be created to replace it. is the quality of your consciousness at this moment. That is the main determinant of what kind of future you will experience. So to surrender is the most important thing you can do to bring about positive change. Any action you take is secondary. No truly positive action can arise out of an unsurrendered state of consciousness. I'll borrow again from 12 Step from Recovery Land. And there's no way that a person who wants to recover from, let's say, alcohol can make a change in their life and surrender if they're still drinking. They have to admit complete defeat. Sometimes it's said that they have to reach a bottom, that it just can't get any worse, which is sometimes close to death. Maybe it's jails, it's imprisonment, maybe it's a severe illness. It could be some kind of hospitalization, maybe even in a mental ward. Once the person realizes that they've reached rock bottom, that's their clue to surrender. Now, what does happen often is that it's very difficult just to surrender, because you most times it's surrender to something, to someone. If you think of times of war, the losing side would not want to surrender unless maybe it was under certain conditions and certain terms. And depending on the graciousness of the victor, they would say either accept a conditional surrender or unconditional surrender. Just look, just surrender. There are no conditions. Either you surrender or you're going to lose. And if you think of a chess game, surrender is a loss. There's no draw unless both people surrender, which is doesn't happen that often in real life. If two people are fighting, very rarely do they just stop and walk away. If you think of countries who are warring against each other, most times they will not just stop and walk away. And so to someone, to any individual who is wanting to make a change in their life, they have to surrender. They've got to walk away, regardless of what it is, whatever that diseased activity from that diseased thinking, upside-down thinking. They have to walk away. And walk away to where? To what? What's going to make a difference? And now usually, if there's nothing there, if there's no foundation for that person to walk to or surrender to, they'll only return back to where they came and continue to suffer, and most likely it would get worse, which is not necessarily a bad thing. The only difference is that usually when people are going through that, they're taking other people with them. Other people get to suffer along with them. So that individual has to get another sense of awareness. And it's more than just them. It's not just about them. It's just more to it. Eckhart Tolle says at the top of 174, well, let me go back to end of 173. It says, through non-resistance, the quality of your consciousness and, therefore, the quality of whatever you are doing or creating is enhanced immeasurably. The results will then look after themselves and reflect that quality. We could call this surrendered action. And so what that means is once you surrender, things begin to change. look after themselves. The quality of your consciousness determines what kind of future you will experience. So to surrender, he says, is the most important thing you can do to bring about positive change. He goes on to say, in the state of surrender, you can see clearly, very clearly, what needs to be done. And you take action, doing one thing at a time and focusing on one thing at a time. Learn from nature. See how everything gets accomplished, how the miracle of life unfolds without dissatisfaction or unhappiness. And we covered this last week briefly. The thing is, for most people who are coming out of that pain, that diseased mental state, most people will not get to see very clearly what needs to be done. I know in people who are coming out of alcohol or drug-induced suffering, it takes them quite a while before they get to see clearly. And you can think about it. The mind hasn't been clear for a while. And it could be a food addiction or a sex addiction or any kind of addiction. Once they surrender, it's basically unknown territory. What else can they do? They don't really have a clue. They have to pick up a book. They have to join a self-help group. They have to have some exposure to something other than the way that they were thinking, their upside-down thing. He says, if your overall situation is unsatisfactory or unpleasant, separate out this instant and surrender to what is. That's the flashlight cutting through the fog. Your state of consciousness then ceases to be controlled by external conditions. You are no longer coming from reaction and resistance. And this is, obviously right on, or some people say spot on, suggestions or advice. But he says, then look at the specifics of the situation. Ask yourself, is there anything I can do to change the situation, improve it, or remove myself from it? If so, you take the appropriate action. Focus not on the 100 things that you will or may have to do at some future time, but on the one thing that you can do now. So does that mean you should not do any planning? And so what's interesting is, people will not even know the first thing to do. They have only past history as their guide. They know maybe how to run, how to hide, how to cheat, how to steal. And that's their only point of reference. So it's really important. Well, it's just so difficult to say, personally speaking, that to somebody who's going through this, who's not reading this book or any other exposure, how will they deal with that? There are some who, like a flashlight cutting through the fog, will have a divine guidance. I had such a divine guidance myself, where I saw a light shining through the fog in my brain and allowed me to get help. But that was after already receiving several chances at help, so I kind of knew where to go. But not everybody, has that availability. So, since you're reading this, you now know how maybe you can help someone else. On one middle of 174, seeing that they are in a state of surrender, maybe you can help guide them to what needs to be, to the best thing that needs to be done next, the next best thing. And so moving to 175, it says make sure you don't start to run mental movies, project yourself into the future, and so lose the now. Any action you take may not bear fruit immediately. And usually, nothing does bear fruit immediately. That's what I say. But he says, until it does, do not resist what is. If there is no action you can take, and you cannot remove yourself from the situation either, then use the situation to make you go more deeply into surrender, more deeply into the now, more deeply into being. I have a phrase that I share with many of my friends that I learned from 12-step meetings, and it's, if you sit in a barbershop long enough, you'll get a haircut. This is where I would differ with Eckhart Tolle. He says, if you cannot remove yourself, then use the situation to go more deeply into surrender, more deeply into the now. I'm sure that possibility could happen, and most likely has. I'd like to believe that it has. However, first and foremost, I am a proponent of removing oneself immediately. So, he says, and now I'm going to say this. Move more deeply into the now might very well mean removing yourself mentally and emotionally from a situation if you can't physically remove yourself. That's how I'm going to now interpret what he's saying. He says move more deeply into the now, more deeply into being. When you enter this timeless dimension of the present, change often comes about in strange ways, without the need for a great deal of doing on your part. Now, if it's a life and death situation, you know, maybe that might work this well, I don't know. Again, to anybody who's listening and finding themselves in a situation where they need to surrender, I would say physically remove yourself. You know, just to sit there and see what happens may not be the way to go, especially if it's a life-threatening situation. There was a time when I was at a wedding and a lot of alcohol was flowing freely and I had sworn off the alcohol and weddings and other social gatherings can be very dangerous for people who don't want to drink. Alcohol is quite a social beverage. And the next thing I knew, I was standing on the dance floor holding drinks for people who had gone off to dance. And it was very scary. I had to physically remove myself for fear that I would do what I normally would do, is drink. Exactly what was in my head. I had to let it go. Had to release it. And I took myself to a meeting. And I found myself in a meeting. And it was actually a combination because I had no idea where to go. I drove until I found a gathering of people, and lo and behold, it happened to be a 12-step meeting. And so that was maybe one of those strange ways without the need for a great deal of doing. Now, I had to do something. I had to remove myself. He goes on to say after that, life becomes helpful and cooperative. I would say that was certainly the case. If inner factors such as fear, guilt, or inertia prevented you from taking action, they will dissolve in the light of your conscious presence. Well, that's beautiful. And I think that for many of us, that happens on different levels. But the first thing that has to happen is surrender. He goes on to say, do not confuse surrender with an attitude of, I can't be bothered anymore, or I just don't care anymore. If you look at it closely, you will find that such an attitude is tainted with negativity in a form of hidden resentment, and so is not surrender at all, but masked resistance. So sometimes surrender, what we think might be surrender, is a malaise. It's just a, like he says, it's a attitude of negativity. In a way, what seems like surrender, and this is what I'm getting, is ambivalence. It's not taking a stand for your life. It's not taking a stand for releasing what's causing the pain and suffering, and is not at all admitting complete defeat. Again, people used to say the only way to win against Mike Tyson is to not get in the ring. Surrender before you even get in the ring. That's the only way to win. Otherwise, once you get in the ring, it's too late. So he says, as you surrender, direct your attention inward to check if there is any trace of resistance left inside you. Be very alert when you do so. Otherwise, a pocket of resistance may continue to hide in some dark corner in a form of a thought or an unacknowledged emotion. And that's a very, very important part. And it seems as in this session, I'm leaning very heavily on 12-step recovery. Because in 12-step recovery, one of the most famous taglines or mantras is say one day at a time. Take life one day at a time. And that's being in the now. And if that's the case, then maybe you can only surrender one day at a time. And each day admit complete defeat. Because if you don't, like you said, there may be a dark corner, might be somewhere under your armpit, the side of your neck. You know, that there's a thought or an unacknowledged emotion that might creep up and have its way and start that cycle of pain and suffering all over again. At this point, I'm going to play a song called How Do You View You? How do you look at yourself? And so what Eckhart Tolle is saying is you definitely need to check yourself out. Sometimes they say a check from the neck up. And so we're going to listen to this song by a psychedelic George Clinton, who most certainly is a spiritual guru in a sense, in a funky sense. And so, check out this song, How Do You View You?
What's good? what we're programmed to do.
How do you view you? How do you see yourself? Is the glass half empty or half full? And most times we have to take a look at that so that we can surrender our thinking that maybe the glass is half full if we're seeing it half empty. That's how we begin to make change in our life. By checking into our perceptions. At this time, I'd like to just take a moment to offer a prayer to my co-host, Mahadra Rahim. We're going to have a moment of knowingness that right where she is, the very presence of God is, the very presence of love is. She was involved in, I believe, a minor car accident. She won't be joining us this evening. So right now I am knowing that she is, as is always, whole, perfect, and complete. That right where she is, the very presence of God is, the presence of love, that she is in good hands, knowing that the police are there and that everything that needs to be taken care of for her well-being and for anybody else, if anybody else was involved, that all are well. That everything is transpiring in peaceful, harmonious ways, certainly for the greater good of all. So I am knowing that this word is only a mere reflection of the truth that is unfolding right there for her. And this is what I see in the mind of God, in the mind of the One. And so therefore, I know that it's not only true of what I know, it's true of what each and everyone knows, because we are of the one. We are of the one love, the one mind, the one life. So I give thanks knowing that, first and foremost, she was well enough to let me know that she would not be on, and that family is on the way to assist her. So I know that she is in the loving hands of the divine, the loving hands of God, that she is divinely guided, guarded, and protected in all of her ways, especially at this time right now. So I give thanks for the ability to know this truth and to share this truth, and to know that together we are one in knowing this. So I simply allow it to be the good that is unfolding and manifesting right here, right now. And so it is. Amen. Yes. So I surrender to the truth in this moment. I surrender to knowing that that our Reverend Hadra is okay. So we're moving on to the next section that says from mind energy to spiritual energy. There's a question that is presented that says, letting go of resistance is easier said than done. I still don't see clearly how to let go. If you say it is by surrendering, the question remains, how? Now, Eckhart Tolle says, start by acknowledging that there is resistance. Be there when it happens, when the resistance arises. Observe how your mind creates it, how it labels the situation, yourself or others. Look at the thought process involved. Feel the energy of the emotion, By witnessing the resistance, you will see that it serves no purpose. By focusing all your attention on the now, the unconscious resistance is made conscious, and that is the end of it. You cannot be conscious and unhappy. Conscious and in negativity. Negativity, unhappiness, or suffering in whatever form means that there is resistance, and resistance is always unconscious. Once again, I just want to say, if people are mired in their negativity, in their unhappiness or suffering, it's going to take something to make them aware to even ask the question. To ask even how. Because most times people are stuck in it, and we spoke last week, found myself in a hole. It took me a long time to get out. Walked down that street again, fell down the same hole. You know, people have to reach a bottom before they're willing to make a change. And before you're willing to make a change, you have to admit complete defeat. Okay, I surrender. Now what? That's the easier part. Saying surrender is easy. Doing it on a regular basis, that takes some effort. Mainly, again, as I said before, most people only know the pain and the poison and the suffering that they just left. That's familiar to them. Many people will only go with what's familiar to them, even if it includes more suffering. You might hear some people say, well, you know, I don't know what's ahead, but at least I know where I came from. You know, I can always go back to that suffering. Look how long I survived there. And that will last for a little while, not very long. They'll once again feel that inner urge to leave that suffering behind. So Eckhart Tolle on page 176, he says, surely I can be conscious of my unhappy feelings, Well, surely I can be conscious of my unhappy feelings. And he says, would you choose unhappiness? If you did not choose it, how did it arise? What is its purpose? Who is keeping it alive? You say that you are conscious of your unhappy feelings, but the truth is that you identified with them and keep the process alive through compulsive thinking. In clinical terms, it's called obsessive compulsive behavior. He says, all that is unconscious. If you were conscious, that is to say, totally present in the now, all negativity would dissolve almost instantly. It could not survive in your presence. He says it can only survive in your absence. Even the pain body cannot survive for long in your presence. Keep your unhappiness alive by giving it time. That is its lifeblood. Remove time through intense present moment awareness, and it dies. But do you want it to die? Have you truly had enough? Who would you be without it? And that's what I'm saying. That's where, and I can read from a book from AA that says, step one, we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol or if it's any substance or action, and that our lives have become unmanageable. It starts off by saying, who cares to admit complete defeat? Practically no one, of course. Every natural instinct cries out against the idea of personal powerlessness. It is truly awful to admit that with a glass in hand or some other drug. We have warped our minds into such an obsession for destructiveness that only an act of providence can remove it. And so once again, he's saying that you have to admit defeat. Most of us revolted in this book called 12 Steps, 12 Conditions of Alcoholics Anonymous. And so in another book called Transform Your Life by Reverend Dr. Barbara King, who has a very large congregation in Atlanta, Georgia, she has a chapter on addictions in her book Transform Your Life. And so she has an adapted 12-step. And what she says is, the bottom line is surrender. Surrender to your spiritual nature, your God self, your higher power. Realize you can't do it alone. Here's one of the first of the 12 steps. We admitted we were powerless over our diseased ego, that our lives had become unmanageable. So that's very interesting. So we're seeing some correlation here. We're seeing how these spiritual principles are in alignment. Some of them go a little deeper. Some have a bit more suggestions. And Eckhart Tolle, for one, is dealing from a place of having some awareness, having a greater awareness, finding yourself already at the bottom. So he says, if you were conscious, that is to say, totally present in the now, all negativity would dissolve almost instantly. It could not survive in your presence. It can only survive in your absence. Until you practice surrender in the middle of 176, hard travel book, until you practice surrender, the spiritual dimension is something you read about, talk about, get excited about, write books about, think about, believe in, or don't, as the case may be. It makes no difference. Not until you surrender does it become a living reality in your life. When you do, the energy that you emanate and which then runs your life is of a much higher vibrational frequency than the mind energy that still runs our world. The energy that created the existing social, political, and economic structures of our civilization, and which also continuously perpetuates itself through our educational systems and the media. Through surrender, spiritual energy comes into this world. It creates no suffering for yourself, for other humans, or any other life form on the planet. Unlike mind energy, it does not pollute the earth, and it is not subject to the law of polarities, which dictates that nothing can exist without its opposite, that there cannot be no good without bad. So, and I mentioned earlier that when people are mired in the disease of the ego, or you want to call it disease of addiction, that they're not only affecting themselves, they're affecting people around them. Very rarely is it harmless, this addiction. It's affecting the person, and it includes and involves other people. And so he says, those who run on mind energy, which is still the vast majority of the Earth's population, remain unaware of the existence of spiritual energy. It belongs to a different order of reality and will create a different world when a sufficient number of humans enter the surrendered state and so become totally free of negativity. Now, that is a very Buddhist point of view. The Buddhists believe that eventually everyone will become enlightened. As a matter of fact, there is a belief that no one will get enlightened until everyone gets enlightened. Now, if you want to look at it this way, it's because we are all one. We are all so interconnected that there is no way that anyone could be left behind. I know that there have been sayings that say, if one of us is not free, then none of us are free. If one of us is not at peace, if one of us is not at peace, then none of us are at peace. So if one of us is affected in some way, then we're all affected. And that's how I see that. He goes on to say, if the earth is to survive, this will be the energy of those who inhabit it. Jesus referred to this energy when he made his famous prophetic statement in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the gentle, they shall have the earth for their possession. It is a silent but intense presence that dissolves the unconscious patterns of the mind. They may still remain active for a while, but they won't run your life anymore. The external conditions that were being resisted also tend to shift or dissolve quickly through surrender. It is a powerful transformer of situations and people. If conditions do not shift immediately, your acceptance of the now enables you to rise above them. Either way, you are free. Well, I'd like to say we do establish a measure of freedom. And this is only my belief. However, I believe that if one of us is not free, then none of us are truly 100%. This is One Love Center Presents. I am so grateful that we can present The Power of Now, a guide to spiritual enlightenment. My name is Rodney Gittins. I am the host. And we know that right where God is, our beloved Reverend Hajar Rahim is, because she was involved in a car accident, and I know that she is well. And she texted me and let me know kind of what's going on. So I'm just so very grateful for that. And I'd like to thank, we do have a listener on the line. Would you like to say anything, listener? You feel free to say anything if you like. And it looks like it would be Brenda.
Okay. Hello, yes. Rod. How are you, Rod?
Yes,
Rodney?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Brenda.
Thank you. Just enjoying the talk, and I'm so grateful that you said the prayer for Reverend Hajra. And I, too, know that she is well and all is well, and she is surrounded by love. So I thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you. I just did get another text from her, and her daughter is coming to get her. And so I think her car is actually okay. And somebody's going to drive the car because she's still, a little shook up. But she's okay, and our prayers continue to be with her. So thank
great,
you very much
great.
For coming on.
Thank you.
So was there anything that you wanted to comment on the reading before we go into our close?
No, not at this moment.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening and for participating and for sharing in the prayer. And I just want to say One Love Center does meet first and third Sunday of the month. We meet at 886 Pacific Street in Brooklyn, New York, between Washington and Underhill Avenue. That's zip code 11238. And actually, Reverend Hajra will be speaking on the next Sunday, which is the first Sunday, and the topic will be on Thanksgiving, and I'm sure she'll have plenty to share after her experience this evening. So I'm sure she'll share much gratitude. And I'm sure it will be a spirited talk, as usual. And we have great music. We have the Love Notes. And that's Chuck Fowler and Felice Rasa. And we normally would have Akiko Hakota, who is actually won't be with us that first Sunday. But we'll also have Vanessa Dawson, who's been our guest soloist, who's been doing a wonderful job. So please come out and listen and participate and share in what we do at One Love Center. Now, we do meet at the Village at Garige, which is a Renate Albertson Martin Gallery, which is a great space that is available for public or private use. And it is a gallery. It's also a performance space. And if you need to rent the space for maybe one of your functions, you certainly may. And the phone number there, well, let's see. I don't seem to have it with me right now at this moment. However, you can look them up at the Village at Garige. That's G-U-R-E-J-E, the Village at Garige. You can find them on Facebook. And you can just Google the Village at Garige, G-U-R-E-J-E, and speak to Jimmy from Piano. And It's just a wonderful space, a lot of spiritual projects that go on there as well. So, I thank you once again. I thank all of the listeners live and those who are listening in the archives. I am so grateful once again to Eckhart Tolle and to all of his spiritual teachers who embrace our lives, to John Randolph Price and to the founders of AA and NA, to Reverend Dr. Barbara King, who I also used from her book, Transform Your Life. And I know that each and everyone who listens to this broadcast will get nuggets, will have information and wonderful spiritual tools with which to not only change your thinking and change your life, but to assist others in doing the same, and having the most prosperous, profitable, healthy, and life-changing situation. And each one is available to have the kind of life that they would like to live. That each one is certainly empowered to have the life that they choose to live. So, peace and blessings, everyone. Be well. And let's listen to our exit song, and let's do Guide Me God, which can be found on a Rossomello album. Rossomello. Peace and blessings. I'm going to present. I mean, I'm going to